Now, when it comes to romantic pairings in the movies, the best on-screen couples we just basically can't get enough of. They're the ones that just have that chemistry that makes you almost believe that they're really involved with each other. And producers recognise it as well, of course, because that's why they cast them together again and again and even again. Blended, which came out a couple of weeks ago, is the latest movie from Adam Sandler. And he's teamed up for a third time on screen with Drew Barrymore as his love interest. So what is it that certain movie pairings have that others just don't? What makes an on-screen couple have that chemistry? And who have been the best pairings in recent times? Well, let's find out what Fiona Flynn from entertainment.ie thinks. What do you think, Fiona?
What do I think?
Seriously, first of all, like, what makes for a good on-screen couple, if you like? Like, why are certain actors and actresses paired together multiple times and with others once is more than enough?
I think the main key ingredient in it is the fact that the two actually genuinely get on well in real life. And I think
you really think that's like,
I honestly
these are actors, they can fake it.
They are actors, but at the end of the day, they are just human beings. And I think, like, the director of Pretty Woman had said before, like, there's many things an actor can fake, but they cannot fake chemistry. And an audience sees through that straight away. I think it's just such a, it's a personal thing for people. Everyone has experienced having chemistry with someone at some point in their lives. So they know when it's sincere and they know when it's sort of put on a bit. And yeah, of course, actors, there's so many romantic comedies out there. There's so many pairings out there. And some of them come along and they act it out well and they do fine. And you can tell they kind of, you know, they get on well enough. But I think the real magic happens when there are two people who just, you know, the two actors who would meet and actually just click as human beings. And then when they go to act out these films together, it's a lot more natural because it's not as much of a stretch for them to actually, you know, be in love with one another.
All right. OK, well, taking that then, let's start with Adam Sandler. I mentioned Blended opens in cinemas a few weeks ago. Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore, they're the most recent on-screen couple to star together again. This is for the third time, isn't it?
This is their third time, yeah. The first time was The Wedding Singer in 1998. Yeah. And then it was 50 First Dates in 2004.
Yes.
So this is now 10 years later, they're back together for Blended.
Well, I've seen the first two. I haven't seen Blended.
Yeah, I've seen all three of them now. And I have to say, they kind of fell short a bit with Blended. It just didn't really...
That sounds like a roundabout way of saying it. It's crap.
It's not good at all.
But how did the two of them get on?
The two of them are fine. It's just the movie is so concentrated on being this slapstick comedy. Like, so much so. And it kind of takes away from any kind of moments the two of them would have together. Like, the best part, I think, with these on-screen couples is you can see them sort of having a conversation, talking with one another, and you know it's natural. It's almost sort of a banter between them. Whereas that's given no time at all to grow and blend it. It's like any kind of sincere moments there are like quickly ruined by, you know, something silly happening in the background. It's that kind of, I mean, everyone remembers Adam Sandler was, you know, the huge thing in the 90s for that kind of, you know, those sort of slapstick movies with the heart almost. And it's just this movie, it's trying to be too many things at once. And it's very much.
But no matter what Adam Sandler does, he seems to at least make back the money that he cost to make the movie by 10 times over. I'm absolutely baffled in one way by his...
I know.
I can see it, and I've... What's the golfing one? Happy Gilmore.
It's
been watched in our house 10,000 times, and I kind of understand the whole thing in some ways. But in other ways, like when you see things like Don't Mess with the Zohan and that, you just wonder why he's allowed to exist.
I know.
He just
keeps on throwing out the same type of movie again and again. And I think it's like hit and miss. It's like one in every
really
five does okay.
Very good either, you know.
No, like Grown-Ups 2 did very well for him, but other than that.
Yeah, Grown-Ups, yeah, that's right. Now, let's just take a look. I mean, the Wedding Singer was big and was one of his bigger movies. But I'm going to play a bit now from the 50 First Dates movie, which was a movie about where Drew Barrymore did a Groundhog Day kind of thing. Every day was the same again.
And he had to deal with that.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, this is a little bit from 50 First Dates.
I don't know who you are, Henry, but I dream about you almost every night. Why?
What would you say if I told you that notebook you read every day used to have a lot of stuff about me in it?
I would say that makes a lot of sense.
You erased me from your memories because you thought you were holding me back from having a full and happy life. But you made a mistake. Being with you is the only way I could have a full and happy life. You're the girl of my dreams. And apparently I'm the man of yours.
Henry, it's nice to meet you.
Lucy, it's nice to meet you too.
Okay, we are talking about couples who continue to do it on the big screen. That was the middle one of the three we're talking about there, but Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore.
How lovely was that?
I get the impression that Drew Barrymore, in other words, like the famous little kid in E.T., that she's never really had to, been allowed to, or has grown up in any way at all. She seems to live in this little bubble all the time. And the bubble works with Adam Sandler, because I don't believe him for a second in some way, so it must be a bubble and not reality.
Yeah, I discuss. Don't know. Discuss, exactly. I like Drew Barrymore a lot. I think it's not like she's not going to win an Oscar anytime soon, I don't think. But as actresses go, like, she's always likable in movies. She always sort of does kind of bring out the best, I think, in who she's starring with, like, you know, with Adam Sandler or with Hugh Grant or any of them. She does sort of, I think she's sort of a likable person. And, like, you know, she's a mother now and she has kids. And I kind of think even the film Blended is kind of almost the result of her going, Jesus, you know, I probably need to do another movie. And there's my best mate, Adam. Sure, we'll just do this.
And they are good friends.
Yeah.
And they do get on. Blended, though, is not doing too well at the old box office, is it?
No, it's got like, or it's made, what was it, 30 million, I think, so far. But as opposed to like Wedding Singer, I think, what, got 80 million in the box office, and Frisky First Dates got 120 million. So it's just bombed. Even after watching it, it's difficult. It's not even sort of one of those things where you'd be on the fence about wondering how, you know, would other people react to it. The only people I think would enjoy the movie are kids. It's almost like a romantic comedy catered towards children.
All right, well, that's it. That's Blended. Another on-screen couple who seem to be everybody's favourite are Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
What's so great about them that people love seeing them together? Or is it because the movies have been so different?
The relationships were so dramatically different in Titanic and Revolutionary Road, both their movies. And again, there was about a decade between both of them.
Yeah.
And Revolutionary Road, it's almost sort of like, initially before I'd watched it, I was like, oh, this is almost like seeing, you know, if Jack and Rose had stayed together and got married, is this how life would have turned out?
Really?
And then you watch the movie and you think, God, I hope that's not how life would have turned out for them.
I never even thought of it that way. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it's just, you know, it was a thought that entered my head when it first came out. But I think with Titanic, the both of them have said that that was such a grueling schedule, and they were only kind of 21. It was one of, I mean, they'd both been kind of around obviously doing movies. This was a sort of their breakout movie, you know. Obviously Leonardo DiCaprio had Romeo and Juliet, and Kate Winslet had a few other movies, but this was huge for them. And James Cameron, the director, had put so much money and so much time into it that he really did, and has admitted afterwards that he kind of worked them to the bone. And he has said kind of like, God, I used to cry in Kate's arms. We just sort of basically formed this unbreakable bond. And I think the two of them, like that, like they became such good friends during that filming, and they needed to have that chemistry. And I think that, you know, the whole story of Titanic and the ship sinking, that it was sort of translated through this sort of couple that were so in love, and, you know, everything that happened between them. I'm almost afraid of giving a spoiler for Titanic, but I assume at this point everyone knows that, you know, he dies at the end of Titanic. Sorry. But so it's like this whole big relationship, but you kind of grieve for everyone on that ship through the relationship of those two, because you get so engaged with them and their chemistry and their love story.
But it's a good point that you made, that they were both pretty famous before this, even though they were very young. They had done big movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in between there was a 10-year gap, which once again they both did huge movies.
Yeah, exactly. And then they came back together for Revolutionary Road. Yeah. And Kate had said as well that, you know, she didn't really know if the chemistry would still be as strong. Obviously they'd still be friends, but it's just, it was like going straight back into it.
But when you talk about the chemistry, it's about a marriage horribly breaking down.
I know, but you kind of believe their anger, you believe their frustration with one another. Yeah. It
wouldn't be to everybody's taste. I'll give you a little blast, but this is Revolutionary Road.
Do you know what the definition of insanity is?
No! Do you?
Yes, it's the inability to relate to another human being. It's the inability to love. April. April. April! April!
Wonderful talker. If black could be made into white by talking, you'd be the man for the job. So now I'm crazy because I don't love you, right? Is that the point?
No, wrong. You're not crazy, and you do love me. That's the point, April.
But I don't. I hate you. You were just some boy who made me laugh at a party once, and now I loathe the sight of you.
Kate, my gosh.
You know, she found, vicious she, words,
she,
huh?
She found a new road to go on, and she wasn't going to be stopped.
Yeah.
What was it? That's Revolutionary Road, and that is the two of them, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Now, the Oscar speech, didn't she win an Oscar speech and say something about him?
Yeah, she said, what was her exact words? I have them here. Leo, I'm so happy I can stand here and tell you how much I love you and how much I've loved you for 13 years.
That's not what she said there.
I know. But I mean, the parent, like, literally nothing has ever happened between them, but like, he gave her away at her third wedding, I think it was.
He was like kind of the dad kind of
person,
was he?
They're just besties. Right. And I mean, God knows, I mean, they're still very young. Maybe some point down the line, they might turn that friendship into something more, but I mean, at the moment, it just seems like they just really do sort of trust and respect one another and kind of, yeah, do have that natural chemistry.
Kate, third husband isn't listening.
I know.
Okay. So anyway, okay, so that's Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, and that's also the two there, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. And the common thing you're saying here, and it seems to be there, right, they're very good friends in real life.
Yes.
It helps. Okay. Yeah. Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan. It's been a while since they did something together, but they were the golden couple for a long time. Many saw them as similar to those on-screen couples from the 50s and 60s, and in fact, even the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, exactly. They kind of came along in the 90s and just everyone fell in love with Meg Ryan and everyone fell in love with Tom Hanks. You know, Meg Ryan was the sort of American sweetheart, romantic comedy, you know, dream girl. And then yeah. Tom Hanks was this sort of everyday man that, you know, everyone could relate to. Women loved, men kind of respected, that kind of thing. So putting the two of them together in a movie was just a brilliant move. And I think they were first together in Joe versus the Volcano. And then
that'll be the very start of the 90s.
That was the very start. That was 1990. And then Nora Ephron had them in Sleepers in Seattle and then brought them back together then for You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
And they just like that. I mean, they shared no screen time in Sleepers in Seattle when you think about it. They had 2 minutes of the movie. So
yeah, but the whole thing was about the two of them together.
Exactly. Yeah. It was believable, I suppose, to have the two of them together. But I think the main thing with those two, again, is that they really do genuinely seem to admire and respect one another. And in the movies, like, again, when you see them in You've Got Mail, it's almost funny, in so many of their movies, other than Joe versus the Volcano, they're not actually together for the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And You've Got Mail, obviously they're in a lot of it together, but they are sort of not knowing that they have this sort of romantic relationship going on. It's all happening online. So I think the main thing with them is that, I don't know, it's like when you just see them on screen, then it just makes so much sense. It just,
you know, I'm just thinking, it's kind of like, really, it's 1990 to 2000, and that's really about it in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how well they'd work now. They were sort of part of a generation.
One of the terrible things is, it's one of the great examples of just how cruel it is to women in Hollywood, because Tom can go on to do this, that, and the other of the brilliantest movies of all, and like the most recent one, Captain Phillips, fantastic, etc. But I mean, once the romantic comedy or whatever it is was not coming a calling to Meg, Meg dropped off the radar completely until you see her in the sidebar of Shame in the Mail buying a coffee with her daughter in LA or something like that. That's about the size of it, Meg.
I feel like she kind of willingly stepped out of the limelight a little bit.
There was
bit,
an element. She did the one of what do you call the director of the piano, your woman, whatever it is. Yeah, she did that cop one with your man. It was awful. Yeah,
I think Jane, she could have. Yeah. I mean, a lot of sort of the romantic comedy actresses, they do have to sort of morph into then like the mum role, you know, where kind of they're in that sort of part of when they're in their 30s and 40s and 50s where they do have to just start playing.
Yeah, but
like,
let's not
the
beat around the bush
people.
Here. Basically, Meg's been lost for about 10 years in terms of the silver screen, and Tom just goes on to, it's very unfair. Mm. Someone's, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit here of one of the ones we talked about there, which was the last one, actually. And this is the one that You've Got Mail one, book company people or bookshop people, and one being much bigger than the other.
It actually was, I think it was based on a movie from the 1940s or 1950s.
The Shop Around the Corner. That's the one.
You know, sometimes I wonder.
What?
Well, if I hadn't been Fox Books and you hadn't been The Shop Around the Corner, and you and I had just met.
I know.
Yeah. I would have asked for your number, and I wouldn't have been able to wait 24 hours before calling you up and saying, hey, how about some coffee or, you know, drinks or dinner or a movie for as long as we both shall live.
Joe.
And you and I would never have been at war. And the only thing we'd fight about would be which video to run on a Saturday night.
Well, who fights about that?
Well, some people. Not us.
We would never.
If only.
There you are. Now the music is there just in case you didn't get it all.
To guide your emotions.
Exactly, to guide your emotions. Is that what you call it? To pull your heartstrings. Okay, that's Tom Hanks, obviously, with, what do you call her?
Meg Ryan,
yeah. Now, okay, and that's the last one of those ones, You've Got Mail. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, they had a real-life relationship, but they worked together several times on screen. Did they have chemistry, or did they just do stuff together because they wanted to work on the same movies? And it's not fair to necessarily look at Stanley Kubrick's last movie because they were meant to be weirded out a million miles apart.
I know. they? Yeah, eyes wide shut. Yeah.
It's like the relationship in House of Cards. Like theirs is brilliantly cold. It's went to the Underwoods. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, go on. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman.
Well, yeah. So they met on Days of Thunder. That was 1990, and then I think they got married within about a year after that, or they were certainly engaged, anyways. And then, of course, they went on a couple of years later to star in Far and Away, and both sort of butchered a couple of Irish accents along the way there. And I think maybe it was back at the time they put them in three movies together, where it's funny because back in sort of the olden days, people loved to see know that couples on screen weren't actually together in real life, you know, like when you look at like Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, like everyone knew they had something going on off screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, Spencer Tracy
and Katharine Hepburn.
It was Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn had the affair, and then yeah. I think it was Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall that were married, but people did sort of love watching these people on screen knowing that they were together in real life, whereas nowadays I think people don't want it. It's almost a bit cringy to see like a real life couple together on screen. And I think maybe Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman sort of you know, it was kind of in the 90s when people weren't really sure if they did want to see a married couple on screen, but it just doesn't really work anymore. And I think with these two, in Days of Thunder, yeah, they had just met. And I suppose there is chemistry between them. There's like, you wouldn't say there was no chemistry between them, but it's funny, out of all the couples that, you know, we are talking about here, the chemistry between Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman on screen has never really blown me away. And it's funny because they're the only two that are actually married out of the whole lot.
You feel that Tom is just so focused on a higher thing than silly lovey things. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, no leading lady.
By the way, I'm not praising
him
here. I'm not praising him at all.
Yeah.
But I forgot, that's right, they did three movies. Yeah, Days of Thunder, Eyes Wide Shut and Far and Away. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
All right, well, let's go to Kate Hudson then and Matthew McConaughey. They had some pretty decent chemistry during his shirtless rom-com days, didn't they?
Exactly, the pre-McConaughey's. I can't even say that word still, but the pre-McConaughey's. Their main ones was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Fool's Gold. And I think they fit so well together. Again, it's like, I think they did get on well, and you could tell they get on well. You could tell they had a good chemistry, but they're both such beautiful people as well. So when you're watching them on screen, I think people are just like, ah, she's beautiful, he's beautiful. Of course they're together. It makes sense.
Yeah, but Matthew goes around kind of knowing I'm beautiful kind of persona, doesn't he?
Yeah, not anymore. Oh, he's a whole different man now.
Yeah, but I mean, Kate, of course, he's also an actor now.
Yes, exactly.
And Kate, would she consider herself to be fascinatingly beautiful? Yeah, I suppose so.
She is a beautiful woman, I mean, she's definitely as beautiful as Matthew McConaughey is, I would say.
I met her up close now, down the house about a mile from here.
Really?
She was making an Irish movie about Adam.
Yeah.
And she was totally cool in that, but like she was sitting at a table in the kitchen when I interviewed her, and she was just like eating a sandwich and the egg was falling out.
I mean, she didn't look like a Hollywood goddess while she was sitting at a kitchen table eating a sandwich.
Now her mother, on the other hand, is a bit of a Hollywood goddess. All right.
I think they look quite similar though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, fair enough. Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little bit of that then. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, Matthew just is in the middle of his, like, did he take off his shirt in every single thing he's ever done?
I think he did. There was a spoof about True Detective where, like, the Oscar Academy were interrogating him, and he basically said, like, oh, I just started reading the scripts. I'd never really read the scripts before I got to, like, True Detective or Dallas Buyers Club. So it almost feels that way. It's like one day Matthew McConaughey woke up from some kind of coma and just actually started, hey, I'm an actor. I might as well.
And by the way, one of those crossovers. Movies, now that I think about it, which is Mud, which is very good.
Yeah.
He takes his shirt off. Anyway, let's take a blast of this. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Andy Anderson.
Hey, pretty girl.
Guess what?
I got a really embarrassing display of white roses.
You are welcome. Listen, I had a wonderful time last night. I have your bag.
I know. I can't believe I left it there.
Yeah, well, you must need it back. What with all the cash, credit cards, and those Knicks tickets for tonight's game.
Sounds like you've been peeking through my bag, Ben.
Oh, absolutely not. Tony, my art director, he's an oaf and he accidentally knocked it over.
Ow, right.
Yeah, I'm a clumsy man.
All right, I'm sorry, though. I'm going to the game with somebody else.
Not anymore. Besides, what, you think you left your purse at my place by accident? No, subconsciously, you are dying to take me to that game. Denying your subconscious desires is extremely dangerous to your health, young lady.
Does that psychobabble really work on anybody?
You tell me.
Andy, you're so bad.
All right, meet me at the 7th Avenue entrance. 7:30, don't be late.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's how it's done.
You got it. Bye-bye. I'll tell you, I just want to slap him.
I know. He does have that southern drawl. I'm Matthew McConaughey and charming.
The hot potato in the mouth situation. Yeah, you know, that, yeah. A drink of water.
It's so funny
talk.
Again, though, with all the romantic comedies, it's like they do have that music. I know they kind of like rip the piss out of it in Friends with Benefits, but it's that sort of do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
we're having flirty banter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Okay, so what do they say about Richard Gere and Julia Roberts? They did seem to work very well together. In Pretty Woman in particular, it kind of happened, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, Pretty Woman, it's out there as like probably one of the best romantic comedies of all time. And it's such an odd story for to work, really. Like, I mean, it's about a prostitute that falls in love with a millionaire, you know? I mean, it's the fact that it even became a romantic comedy
story.
Is kind of strange. Yeah, I think when it was first written, actually, it was sort of a lot more of a darker tale. And then they sort of morphed it into a romantic comedy. But yeah, the two of them apparently just fell in love with each other during this time. And there was nothing ever confirmed or denied about them actually having a thing off screen. What I think out of all the couples, for some reason, I just fully believe that Richard Gere and Julia Roberts got it on. I don't know.
I happen to have in front of me here.
Oh, really?
A statement from Julia Roberts. Just out on TMZ. Whether they had an off screen fling, Gary Marshall, the director, saying, I don't know, but they did get along quite well. Ah, come on, Gary, give us a bit more than that. You see, you can fake anything in this business except chemistry,
yeah.
Which is what you're saying. And when two people kiss, the audience knows if there's chemistry or not. And Richard and Julia had great chemistry.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, that's what Runaway Bride.
What's the other movie?
Really,
the Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride.
Movie,
yeah.
That didn't work.
No,
it didn't work as a movie. Do you think it worked as a chemistry?
I mean, they were fine. It's like there's sometimes the movie just can't even help even the best of chemistry, you know? I mean, Runaway Bride, it was kind of like a silly enough concept and it just worked well because it was the two of them. If it'd been any other
but
two stars
in it. But he was a journalist on the...
Yeah, investigating this Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
And it's fine. As romantic comedies go, it was Julia Roberts, you know, with the big wavy hair and, you know, her witty charm and Richard Gere being Richard Gere. And I think they probably did just go, God, Pretty Woman worked out so well for us. We'll give it a go with Runaway Bride. And it did because everyone went to see it because
I'll tell you what, I think the one people would most like to hear is probably Pretty Woman. I just say, is it the top one? Maybe it is.
You just leave it all up to me. Don't you just love Prince?
More than life itself.
Don't you knock?
Vivian, I have a business proposition for you.
What do you want?
I'm going to be in town until Sunday. I'd like you to spend the week with me.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I'd like to hire you as an employee. Would you consider spending the week with me? I will pay you to be at my beck and call.
Look, I'd love to be your beck and call girl, but you're a rich, good-looking guy. You could get a million girls free.
I want a professional. I don't need any romantic hassles this week.
If you're talking 24 hours a day, it's gonna cost you.
Oh, yes, of course. All right, here we go. Give me a ballpark figure. How much?
Six full nights, days to 4,000.
Six nights at 300 is 1,800.
You want days too?
2,000.
3,000.
Done. Vivian, is that a yes?
Yes.
Repeat movie pairings is what we're looking at here on the big screen. That is Fiona Flynn from entertainment.ie is getting there with all this here. So what does he say about her, or does he have anything to say about her? That'd be Richard Gere and Julia Roberts.
Yeah, that's him talking about buying her there, and yet for some reason we're like, it's such a lovely romantic comedy, you know? It's like someone just threw a veil over our eyes for that plot.
So
he had said there's some kind of alchemy between me and Julia. I don't know how it works. Doesn't hurt that she's beautiful, doesn't hurt that she's smart, doesn't hurt that she's talented. So I don't know. They definitely have a great affection for one another, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there've been nothing since, so that kind of would make
I think the Runaway
maybe
Bride was probably a step too far. Let's leave it at that kind of thing. Okay, let's go to, we're just talking about the modern day ones, by the way, right across the board for the last bunch of years. So one of the most recent and finally on-screen couplings to get everybody excited was Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Yes.
They're pretty cute, the two of them, aren't they?
They are so cute. I think at the moment, if anyone wants to see that two people in a movie, it's those two. But I think they've kind of set their sights a bit higher now. Well, he has anyways, and he's just like decided to leave acting for the time being and focus on being a director.
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan's in his current movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe it's as out there as those ones he made with Nicholas Refn winding.
Yeah, maybe tried a little too hard with it. But it's his first directorial stint, so, you know, we'll give him a chance. And he's so pretty, you know, Dave? He's just so pretty.
Yeah, I would have thought pretty, wasn't it? I just would have thought he was just so bloody cool.
He's very cool.
Like, he can spend 90 minutes in a movie and all he does is just choose something for a few seconds.
Exactly, yeah. He kind of gets away with it, yeah. And but I think the thing is, like, with Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, that's like, they're both so cool on their own, you know? And
yeah, like
Emma
everyone
Stone, has a sort
yeah.
of girl crush.
That Straight A's was one of those movies. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And
she's in the big one recently, the big huge blockbuster thing.
Yeah,
which I wouldn't be crazy
Spider-Man
about,
she
so,
was
yeah.
in. And yeah. that's actually with her current boyfriend, Andrew Garfield.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
The two
yeah.
of them, I saw them on the couch on Graham Norton. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean, they could be another conversation for on-screen duos. Mm. But I'm full of hope that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling will somehow get it together. But I think the pair of them like that, you can just tell as soon as they're on screen, they have this, like that, what I was talking about earlier, that, you know, Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore didn't have in their movie. When Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are together in a picture, you feel like it's a natural conversation.
Hold on a
like.
Second now. How many pictures have they been in together?
Two.
Oh, two. I thought it was only one. I was just going to say that this is wishful thinking.
No,
now,
no.
I know Crazy Stupid Love. What was the other one?
Gangster Squad.
Oh, that's right.
2 years
Gangster
later.
Squad.
Yeah,
yeah that's
yeah.
right. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they have been in two. And I think they'll probably be in more once Ryan Gosling kind of gets over this whole directing
Crazy
thing.
Stupid Love, if you're looking for rom-coms, is one of the very best of this of the last 10 years.
Honestly is. And,
it's above all, which never happens in a rom-com, it's got a major twist in it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Never
I'm going,
happens.
What?
It was a really smart romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And like, it's the type of one as well. I know they're always sort of given like as, oh, chick flicks and all that kind of silly notions. But it's the type of one as well. You could sit down with anyone, guy or girl, mum or dad,
yeah.
and anyone and say, you're really going to like this movie.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's funny.
Just,
and Steve
yeah.
Carell is good in it.
Steve Carell's brilliant in it as well.
With his tennis shoes. Yeah. Sitting at the bar. But I'll tell you, there is like I presume you're going to be talking about one scene, the Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling of when he admits to, is it Dirty Dancing? In the
Oh,
yeah,
the Dirty Dancing
yeah,
move.
Which is very good.
Yeah, the
it's
whole
good.
Scene is just played yeah. out so well. I mean, the way, it's just, it seems so automatic between them. She just seems like, oh, you know, yeah. kind of nervous, but, you know,
yeah.
a nervous, funny girl, I guess. And he's, the, you know, extremely good looking. And she's like, are you photoshopped? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's funny, yeah.
it's
and she's
just,
looking at him across the room.
It's very natural,
yeah.
you know. And so
yeah.
many times in movies, it's so played up of this, like, yeah. oh, they
I
look at each
one
other.
One of the reasons I liked that scene was he just looks so like me. It's incredible. okay,
course,
you don't have to laugh that much. yeah. No, it's good, I must say. All right,
yeah.
so will I give a blast of Crazy
two,
Stupid
yeah.
Love? Yeah. Okay, so basically what you're saying is you would like to see these two in a movie again.
Absolutely. If
because Gangster Squad isn't exactly what we're talking about here in terms of the same thing, really.
No, no, but you would. It would be great to see them in something, you know, as in, does even Crazy Stupid Love was kind of about a few different couples and different things going on, whereas it would be great
big
to
time.
See sort of some kind of epic romantic, like again, a smart romantic comedy between Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, because I think they're the only two at the moment. There's so many romantic comedies out there, whereas everyone is in love with them. I mean, like Emma Stone along with Jennifer Lawrence. Oh,
yeah.
can't believe I forgot her name there. Jennifer Lawrence are like the two sort of main girl crushes almost. Everyone thinks
oh,
they're so
I'd
cool.
Oh, I'd rather Emma
know?
Stone.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, so you're an Emma Stone man, but
oh,
I think
God, yeah.
Emma or Jennifer Lawrence kind of pushed Emma Stone off that sort of, you know.
She's bigger at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, she's in the big movies too.
Yeah, well, so. Emma Stone's still very popular, but I think out of all of them, like they're the sort of popular actors and actresses in Hollywood at the moment. So they're
right.
the ones people want to see on screen.
All right. Well, listen, Fiona Flynn, entertainment.ie. Thanks a million for dropping in, Fiona. The best
Thank
on-screen
you.
Chemistry persons of the last bunch of years. And this one, hopefully, we'll have a few more, especially for you, because I think you really like it. And I couldn't agree with you more, actually. Crazy, Stupid, Love, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Okay, so then what do we do? What happens now? Like, logistically, what's your move?
What do you mean, what's my move?
What's your move? Like, what's your big move?
I got lots of moves.
What's your big move?
I'm not telling you my big move.
Tell me your move.
You're not ready for the big move.
Yes, I am. I want your big
you
move.
You can't handle the big move, trust
Tell
me.
Tell me a big move.
I work Dirty Dancing into the conversation.
Dirty Dancing?
Can I sit down, please?
Yeah.
Can I put back on my shirt?
No. Why Dirty Dancing? What do? Do we watch it?
You know the big move at the end of Dirty Dancing where Patrick Swayze picks up Jennifer Grey?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay.
So I tell girls I can do the move. I put on the song, Time of Your Life. I do the big move. And they always want to have sex with me.
Oh, my God. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I agree. But it works every time.
That would not work on me.
No.
This is ridiculous. I don't want to do it.
Whoa.
This is beyond ridiculous.
Run and jump.
No.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Come on.
Thank God I'm drunk. Here we go. Sir, do you prefer to do it here in the bedroom?
The bedroom is preferred.
Mm-hmm. Let's go there.
At RTE2FM. Game on.